single person teaching because we miss some of the brilliant ideas that you have. And many of you wouldn't claim to have brilliant ideas, but you actually do. And you probably would claim to have them. You just don't want to be found claiming to have them. So I have a couple that I'm going to read that were given to me, and one was sent to me. Many of you know that they put the little lesson on the internet, and some people listen to it regularly. Some people who have gone away, and that always amazes me that anyone would listen more than once. But, I mean, you guys have to, or you feel guilty for not going to church, but they don't have to. So, if I can read this, the Reichert, she's not here with us today, and so she sent a note. She says, I have been, you know, one of the other disadvantage of our group is that we don't know who anybody is, right, when I say a name. So would you raise your hand back there, sir? Right there, that's the husband. The wife isn't with us today, and so if you want to ID this, is I have been spiritually stretched and strengthened in many ways these past 2 years, and I'm sharing the following. I now own a better Bible dictionary to help me with my preconceived idea of what a word means. I look at the rituals of the Passover celebration and the Last Supper in new light. Christ's words on the cross have been more meaning for me when I compare them to Psalm 22. And she said, thank you to the fellowship. So that's nice of her. And then many of you remember Catherine Zerbe. Do you remember her? She attended here a long, long time, and she sent me an email this week. She said, Dear Pastor Ted, and then a couple of personal comments. And then it says, I have loved our journey through the gospel according to Matthew, and have to say that one of the primary things that I have gleaned from your teaching is that I slip far more often into a role of self-righteous fault finder than I have liked to admit. This is actually one of the things that the Spirit of God has illuminated in my daily walk in the past year and has been confirmed consistently in your words to the flock through this particular portion of Scripture. Too often I am more focused on others' failures and do not reflect Christ than upon pondering my own unrighteous behavior. Thank you again for teaching truth that is sometimes difficult to hear but always appropriate to apply. Blessings to you and Val, and hello to everybody of the flock in Soldotna. So anyway, it was nice of her. And I did ask her permission, by the way, and she emailed me back that was okay. So I didn't just do that to her. And I went to print it off this morning, and I lacked the skill, apparently, because my printer just kept saying, you're an idiot. And no, I didn't say that, but that's what it was saying. So I just brought the computer to read it off of there. So I have prepared some stuff, so if nobody wants to, that's okay. But if anybody would like to say something to the body that of some kind of benefit the teaching has been, go ahead. And if you wouldn't mind, if it's not too embarrassing, give your name just so we can all, I mean, everybody knows you, but yeah.
My name is Gloria Whitaker. When we had so many changes here at the fellowship, and Larry left and Ted came, for a lot of us, not because we didn't like Ted, but it was the different way of teaching and everything. And then on top of that, for the last couple of years, I've had a lot of health problems. And to put it nicely, I was loopy for a long time. And so, and I wasn't here for a long time. But when I come, I have grown to just love your word and the things that you bring to me and the hope that you bring to me. And when I can't make it here, I miss it. I really do. So keep teaching. Keep bringing the word to us. And words are important, what they mean and where they're at. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gracie. And I, too, want to thank the transition and all that were, I don't know, just a different way. Sometimes when people say something, another person can say the same thing, only it'll hit you different. And when Ted taught about the parables, I never really understood it real well. In fact, I was a little afraid about it. It was the maidens with the that didn't have the oil, the five maidens, and some did and some didn't. And I thought, oh, no, maybe I won't have oil. And, you know. And
then doomed.
No. Yeah. And then there was another parable that went along with that maybe it was the talent thing. And it's like, oh, well, what talents do I have? Am I hiding it? And, you know, just all that fear, instead of walking away from the word feeling enlightened, I was feeling bad. And so Ted taught that on those two particular parables that actually Jesus is the hero. And when we look to the Lord, we'll have that rest. And what I was doing was looking to myself and how can I line up to the Word of God instead of going, well, of course, you know, all these things that, of course, we're inadequate in ourselves. And it's God that it's really an encouragement that God will prepare us. And he has given us talents and he'll bring it. Anyway, that was one of the main things that stood up for me because I felt such a peace on the way home. Okay.
Good morning. I tried to put this together in my mind that would...
That's
my name
Jackie.
Is Jackie. Yeah, hi. I hope this is going to be concise and clear to you because it was a two-year journey. And about the time that Ted started, I discovered... We were reading through the Old Testament, and I discovered about all the feasts of the Lord, which is really cool, and how they lined up to Jesus and... So this is where you can get into a slippery slope. Ted kept saying, oh, you're the religious people of the day. And I kept thinking, well, no, I'm not trying to be. But these feasts are really cool. And then I started learning about some of the history of our contemporary holidays. And I kept thinking, Lord, thinking and praying, I don't know if I'm supposed to, like, do a Christmas tree. And please don't laugh at me. It was a good intentions, I think. But they can get you in trouble. And I just didn't really know my way. And I kept thinking, okay, Lord, just help me listen. Help me learn. Help me learn. And so it was just a difficult journey. And then someone handed me this book. It was called Shovel and Something. And it was like, it was really legalistic. And I got really annoyed and kind of put it aside and thought I'd tell I hope the person wouldn't ask me what I thought because I knew I would tell them. So we had resurrection, Easter, right? So it all kind of came to a head at the end of the two years. And Ted said, well, don't mend the curtain. And it just made so much sense to me. And we went home and we watched the Passion of the Christ. And again, I considered what Christ did to save me. And I thought, how ridiculous that I could do one thing that would make that better, like in some kind of righteousness that I would have. And it was humbling. And then I found this freedom in Christ in Galatians 5. So Christ has truly set us free. Make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery of the law. There's a little bit more, and it's all really relevant. Not that I'm thinking about getting circumcised, but you can put that in for the law. Sorry, I don't always edit. It just comes out. That's why I should have wrote it down. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, then you have been cut off for Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. And it was such a freedom. Thanks.
Galatians 5:1, that is my kind of my life verse, if you have a life verse. So I like that one. Anybody else?
My name is Jerry, and I come with my wife, Jan. We've been attending here since Matthew 8. So
we will be reviewing the first seven chapters starting next week for this fine couple.
And if we're gone in the wintertime, we only miss 3.5 chapters, so it's easy to pick back up again.
That one time I went 4. Now, come on.
I don't know about you, but I felt a lot of pressure this week. I mean, I've never had a pastor say that, you know, now you have to tell me what you learned. And like I've been here for months and months, and it'd be really disappointing if I didn't learn anything. So I felt a lot of pressure to think, what would I say? And I guess one of the things I've really appreciated through Matthew is Christ's encounter with the culture. And Christ came to Israel at a very politicized time, like it often was, and maybe not so different in a lot of ways than the time we live in, a very politicized time. And how do you think about all the issues that push us one way or another? And so last Saturday night, I was at a neighbor's, at the table of our neighbor's house, and I volunteered a comment from a letter to an editor. That's a very safe thing to do. You can say, someone said, someone wrote, did you read this? And what they wrote was, you know, if they take our permanent fund away from us, that's not really a tax because we never had it in the first place. So it's not really a tax. And that sat there for a minute. And then someone said, well, you know, anyone around this table, they could take our permanent fund and nobody would miss it. And that sat there. And then someone said, well, my daughter and her family, they use their permanent fund to buy all their winter supplies, and they would miss it a lot. And that was the end of that conversation. And I was thinking about that kind of simple conversation later. Where would Christ be? Where would Christ have his sympathy in that kind of conversation? And it's really easy to figure that out because Christ was always concerned about the poor and the unempowered and the weak. And so how to do that, how to bring Christ into our culture and into our political discussions and political decisions and do that in a way that honors him. So Christ encountering his culture and encountering our culture, I think that's been a real blessing to me.
Well, hi, I'm Larry. And I usually don't share these kind of things in these kind of circumstances, but just a couple of comments. Bonnie and I have been attending this church for 20-some years and have a really good feelings and opinion and all that kind of stuff. Most of those years, of course, were with Larry and now with Ted, and we feel really blessed with both. In my mind, changing from Larry to Ted was not a step up or a step back. In my mind, it was kind of a step sideways, and it's continued very positive to me. We, Bonnie and I spend a big share of our winters in Arizona, and there we attend a pretty fundamental Baptist church, and you know, there's some things you can say good, bad, and indifferent about the differences and whatever, but we have a good feeling about that church. One of the things I like about this church and others like is I don't like being yelled at. And I like the way Ted and Larry teach and preach and communicate God's word, and it's all good. And I hope to, I hope it all continues in the way it is. I don't have anything to say to correct or fix or anything. I know that the Arizona church has three services a week that Bonnie and I attend, and we kind of, because of that, we're a little bit more motivated to participate. But it would be nice to get to know the people in this group a little closer sometimes. We did the Bible study last winter. I don't remember if it had a name or not. But anyway, we enjoyed that and other things. And I'm rambling a little bit, but I just want to express my good warm feelings and appreciation. Thank you.
Hey, good morning. I'm Uli's husband, and I am Paul. Yeah. I echo everybody else's opinions or thoughts, I guess, for that. I know that Ted's teachings have spawned quite a bit of conversation between Uli and I on the way home from church and then later on. Good stuff. No, it's really good because I used to be very much into apologetics and learning the history of things. And I think probably other than what everybody else said, the takeaway that I've had so far is to be, well, not to be, but I'm just so much more grateful for the circumstance where we are in now as a country or as a civilization. Things were different 2,000 years ago. Life was brutal. Lifespans are short. Life didn't really mean a whole lot as far as the value of life, I don't believe, just from all the things that have happened since then. And the just the centuries of change and everything, and yet here I am in this day and age where I can basically do whatever I want to do. I don't have anybody that's going to come roust me out of my home because of my religion. Probably going to, gene-wise, probably going to be a long-lived life, healthy, clean water, food. It's, and I think probably just the circumstances when you're teaching about Matthew and the whole circumstance of Jesus' existence on the earth during the time that he lived and the faith and everything that everybody displayed at that time during really desperate times just makes me more grateful for the things that I have and not to be taking things for granted as much as I have been in the past. So I think that's probably the best takeaway. Plus, you're great, Ted. I like you. Good stuff. Thanks.
So my name's Leah, and Tony, my husband, and I both realized we had something to say. I have no idea what he's going to say, and he doesn't know what I'm going to say, but I hate coming up here by myself, so he came with me. What I was going to share that I picked up, I guess, is, and I always get emotional because it means a lot to me, is that I am the disciples. I am them. And I would have done the same stupid things they did because I do them. And I would have fallen asleep in the garden and I would have taken the 30 silver coins and I would have had that regret. And I would have ran to the temple and chucked it at him. And I probably would have done and finished myself off the same way he did because I have those regrets. But the reason he didn't know there was a hope is because it hadn't come to completion. And what he did in turning Jesus over is the reason that I don't have that. That I have hope. And so my life sins and my messy, you know, destructive things that I've done and do and I have regrets over, I didn't take 30 coins and I didn't have to go in the temple and throw them down and wish I could undo it. And I didn't have to go kill myself. But because of what he did, and it was all part of God's plan, his actions are so much me, though. And I can't say, how could he? He was Jesus's friend. Well, so am I. And but because of the completion and the things that Jesus did on the cross, I have hope. And my big mess ups are just that. And they're just, you know, mud to wipe off. And God has made me clean. And so what I took out of all of Matthew was probably those coins in my hand. Just that I am just like those disciples. And I guess having grown up in the church, and I always just pictured these 12 neat men just marching behind Jesus like a little crowd. They're just clones, and they're just there to do the right thing. And I hadn't thought about that they were just like me or I am just like them.
Hi, I'm Tony. And I have two things that really struck me. One, much like Paul was just saying, and Leah to an extent, the cultures, while it may, like Paul mentioned, how different it is for us now, but that's here. That's not everywhere in the world. Christianity isn't just for Americans. And it worked out well that you got to the point of resurrection right at Easter. And also, I'm sure it was intentional that the movie The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel came out right about that same time, and we took the youth group to it. Something that I hadn't ever really thought of, but listening to you talk and then going to that movie, if we can explain away that there was no resurrection, then it's all fake. But that's not possible. The physical evidence is just too strong. And it's really made me think about, kind of like Leah was saying, the Pharisees, it would be easy for us to be just as bad as any of the people or all of the crowd chanting to crucify him. We would do that. Our sin nature would do that. But thankfully, the end says we have God's grace, and that because of that, we no longer are seen as that bad person. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rebecca, and I've been thinking about this all week. What am I going to say? Because I'm going to say something. I read the chronological Bible that's divided into 365 readings. So it goes through, starting with Genesis 1 in January, and it goes through the whole Bible, hoping to have it be in chronological order. So that there are times that get pretty rough reading through, like, you know, Leviticus, for instance. But I really started thinking about how if God really wanted us to have these details, the sort of boring parts, there's a reason. And I've been able to get something from even those boring parts. But then on Sundays, I come here and we've been going through Matthew. And that has been sort of a comfort to know this is something that isn't necessarily most of the time not a boring part. Towards the very beginning of Matthew, of course, it was the genealogy. And that, to my culture, the genealogy of Jesus's genealogy wasn't all that important. But then I got to thinking about it differently. My mom, by the way, I forgot to ask for prayer for her. She's back in the hospital again with pain. So please pray for her. But she challenged all eight of us kids and our families, if our partners would join us in it, to read the book of Matthew one chapter a week. So the first week, which happened to be in January, we were supposed to start reading Matthew 1, just Matthew 1, every day for a week. Well, that's kind of rough. And then we went to Matthew 2 every day for a week. And that was kind of rough, too. And Ron was going along with me on this until partway through reading Matthew 2 that week, and he got kind of mad and said no. He didn't have any reason to have Romans 2 read again. He just felt like it was just too much. But at the same time as I was reading that, and then reading a week of Romans 3, and knowing that sometime in a couple, 13 weeks, we'll be to Romans 13, and that's my favorite. That's my favorite, where it says that the government is a gift. And so it's okay for us to ask the government to protect us, because that is the gift that God gave to us. So all those kinds of things all kind of went together. And talking about, while I was reading various parts of Romans, I also, in my personal reading, was reading the law. And so Romans is talking about the law did this and the law did that. And meanwhile, I'm reading the law in the morning. And that was kind of interesting. And then also coming to church on Sundays and talking about how the religious people of Jesus' day, how they interpreted things. And I really, all of it sort of melted together in my mind over the last months and weeks, to have it all come together that Matthew really did seem a lot like Romans in a way. Romans is very logical, and it sets out, this is the plan, this is the reason this book was written, is to make this point. And Matthew is kind of the same way. It's a logically laid out thing saying, this book is here to convince the Jewish people of that day and everyone else that Jesus really is the Son of God, who really is the Messiah. And it starts off with the genealogy in the very beginning saying he really does have the right. And then it, when it ends, even with the resurrection and everything, it just, it ends in sort of a just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Let's just tell, these are the points that he was trying to make, and he made them. And I really appreciated the way, the teaching that you taught us throughout the 2 years, Ted, helped reinforce for me personally that I do have that responsibility and right to study God's word and to learn from it, and that it's okay to kind of be able to figure things out, that he gave it to us to teach us. And so I'm really thankful for it, and I'm thankful for your teaching through the last couple of years, and I can't wait to see where we go next.
Hi, Connor, Barry. I thought just one thing. Alicia and I have appreciated with your teaching through Matthew is just how sometimes you challenge traditional interpretation of certain passages, and some other people were saying, it's created a lot of conversations in the car rides and in the evenings with my wife and some of our friends. And, you know, at first, a couple of things, most recently, there was something about, you know, some of the statements Jesus made on the cross, which I kind of have looked at a certain way for a long time, and you kind of just raise some ideas. You always say something like, and I surmise, or I propose, or some word that you use.
Some have said.
And I've appreciated that. At first, I don't necessarily agree with it, and then, you know, but that's not the point.
When common sense settles in, then, you know.
Right. But I think it's good to have somebody who challenges your opinions and makes you kind of want to go back and say, hey, let me read that again in light of some other scriptures that were brought up. And I think that's the only way that we can grow. And so that part of it I have appreciated, and trying to look at it in that different perspective, with trying to see it through their eyes versus what I kind of view things as. So that's my input. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Ann, and I've missed a lot. We have a grandson that wrestles, and boy, it's just hard not to make those matches in the state match. But I just really appreciate this church. It does always feel home. It doesn't matter how long you're gone or if you're missing, and a lot of us do miss. I appreciate the Quirks. I appreciate their generosity in opening up their house. And Ron and I become real good friends of them and other couples in the church through that. And it's been awesome to just share things and pray together. And I love our women's Bible study, and I really would encourage any woman that has the time to do it, because a lot of times we'll be mentioning Ted, not in a bad manner, and we'll say something that he said, and it kind of clicks. And we've been studying Ezekiel. And, you know, I never was that thrilled about the book of Ezekiel, but it's so cool, this study we've been doing. It's really good. And I just love you, Ted. I love your personality. I love how funny you are. I just get a real charge out of you. But thank you for your time at this church, and we appreciate it. And you just make, I've really found, Ron and I both noticed it, that we open our Bibles more. We study our Bibles more. And I love digging in the Bible. I love the Old Testament. I was brought up, you study the Old Testament. Most of these young Christians, I don't know where the idea comes out, but they seem to think that all you need to study is the New Testament. And there's just such good stuff in the Old, and they hook together, and it's just interesting. So thanks again, Ted. I love you. You're a sweetheart.
We're talking about the book of Matthew here today, okay? Anybody else? Last chance. I enjoy hearing from you. I enjoy hearing what you've learned, what you've benefited from, and some of those things like when she said, you know, we just find ourselves opening the Bible more. That's not a bad thing, you know. And God is good to us. He gives us these books to create, and I've used the term a lot, a cumulative argument. Have you heard me say that? He's giving it to us over and over and over, like Rebecca said, from the beginning, building, all the way through. It's a very cohesive argument. But the repetition of that argument for us who are older is probably the thing that has anchored us from making really incredibly stupider decisions than we make. Notice I threw that on the end there, because I don't want to claim that we don't make them. So in turn then, if you're hoping that your faith is going to be passed on to your children, then biblical content has to be part of their life repetitively. Because trust me, the other side of content, secular content, content that is not just atheistic but anti-atheistic, is incessant in our culture, continually barraging all of us. And for many of us, we've cut it out of our life in so many ways. I mean, I don't watch TV because I just get so weary of it. But especially if you're a child, you've got your phone, you've got your school, and all those things that's just continually pounding you. And the Word of God getting into my mind and heart and soul, continually convincing me of what God wants to convince us of. His love, His concern, His care, His desire to overhaul me personally so that my responses aren't the same today as they would be if I didn't have God and Jesus' influence in my life. So, our church is a Bible church, and we want to continually be urging you to look in the Bible. But remember, the Bible is not the end, right? The Bible is a definition, helps us with our definition of God. The end result is to draw nigh to God, to have Him constant in your life, where you're interacting, where your communion, speaking of other things, but where your communion is your daily fellowship with the Lord every day. And when that grows strong, then we start to show how totally we've been overhauled by interaction with God through content. The just shall live by faith, and we do have faith in God, but He also gave us content for us to consider defining His character and our options. And when we abandon this definition, then all of life becomes relative. All of culture becomes relative. And no, there are no absolutes. And when there are no absolutes, no matter how badly someone would want to say, we will choose to do the right thing. Remember, history's my hobby. In all of recorded history, rarely has anybody chosen continually to do the right thing, unless it pertained to my health, wealth, and power. So anyway, thank you for that. Just to let you know where we're going to be going, I will make just a few conclusive remarks on Matthew at the beginning next week, and then we're going to do a several-week study on Christian principles of growth, things that you might benefit you. And we'll be looking at different passages in the Bible. We'll be talking about the value of the Bible, the value of prayer, the value of the Holy Spirit, those kind of things. And that won't go too long. And then we're going to jump into an Old Testament book, which won't take 2 years. And then we're going to jump after that into the book of Acts, and which will continue sort of this study, because this study leaves us off at the beginning of the book of Acts. In case you're keeping track, we started studying Matthew on 10/18/2014. So That's been a little while ago, and thank you for sticking with that. I hope it's increased your faith in God. You increased your fellowship, your daily. And see, now the Holy Spirit, if you've struggled through those things, the Holy Spirit can bring them back at critical times and help you make correct decisions. I know probably at times it was a bit tedious or wade through. I have over 12 notebooks of notes, and not all of those notes did I deliver to you. So try to present things that will really encourage you. We've said before, our body is very different from old to young, seasoned believer to new believer. So it's always a challenge, but continue to remember that God is the hero. And we're thankful for him, to him for his righteous acts for us. Let's pray. God, you have done so many things for us, and we're struggling to understand those things from your perspective and not our own fleshly perspective. Thank you for giving us your word that we can examine and compare and contrast our own thoughts with your thoughts. Help us to continue to stay focused on you and give us the strength and wise decisions and hard decisions for our children and our friends as well. Thank you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.